A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into the Jazz Notes podcast. We are the Jazz Notes, or something like that. My name's Cleon Wall, Spencer Hall, and Jeremiah Jensen joining me. Maybe we'll go get some t-shirts made a little bit later. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, or you can find us on the KSL News Radio app, or sometimes I even tweet out a link, and these guys retweet that link, and you can listen to us there as we talk about the Utah Jazz. No big surprises, guys. I mean, Dennis Lindsay, GM, said, hey, you know what? We're going to try and sign our free agents in the offseason. Other than Jonas Jerebko, well, and he really wasn't even a free agent. They just decided to not pick up his contract. They signed their free agents in the offseason. They did exactly what they said. What do you think, Jeremiah?
Not surprised at all. I remember at locker cleanout asking Dennis Lindsay about Dante Exum, and it was pretty clear that he was going to do what he needed to do to keep him. Derek Favors, the list goes on. Even Howell Neto, they talked about wanting to keep him. They wanted to get the band back together. They talked about chemistry. They talked about what they'd like to see this team do if they were healthy all season long. Dennis Lindsay was dropping hints about this for the last 2 months. So anybody that was listening shouldn't be shocked at all by what took place the last couple weeks. They were bringing these guys back. They were going to be focused, number one, on bringing these guys back. The free agent class, outside of the first few guys, who none of which were going to even consider coming to Utah.
What about Paul George? Come on.
I was so glad that didn't happen, by the way.
I know. Yeah. I know. Your personal hatred toward Paul. We'll get to you in a second.
I like Paul George, but not for $30
million. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm not surprised by any of this. This is exactly what their plan was. They'd been hinting at this. There weren't any big-name free agents out there that they could realistically get that would have got them any closer to beating the Warriors. So what did they do? They're getting the band back together. They're going to make a run and see if they can build on what they did last year with the same core group. Next year, they'll have a lot of money to play with if they want in a much deeper free agent class where it would be actually more worth it to go chase some guys.
And I love doubling down on chemistry. This team, yeah. I mean, they had once in a generation chemistry last year. Watching them in summer league, I mean, they were all here while the guys were playing. The starters were here on the bench watching the new guys. And then now in Vegas this week, they're all down there doing the same thing. What were there, seven guys at the game yesterday on the bench?
Alec Burks, Howell Neto, Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Rudy Gobert, Jay Crowder, all hanging out down there on the bench, on the floor, cheering on the summer league team.
Unbelievable.
Pretty cool.
I mean, and then the Donovan Mitchell wearing the Karl Malone jersey.
I forgot Dante Exum was there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Epe Udo's on the way.
Yeah. They're getting him back.
No, what is in Vegas? Come on, you guys. I mean, it's not like
they're all trying to hurry and get together and hang out in Milwaukee.
Yeah. I know, but doesn't it seem like this is the first kind of generation of guys who come up who they get the league from a digital standpoint? Like, this is the first generation of guys who they love the league. They play 2K. They love every aspect of the social side of the game. And we're seeing what happens when they are stoked to be in the league and they love, you know, I'm young, I'm in the NBA, I'm loving it. And it's the fans are going crazy about it. So I love what Dennis Lindsay did. Just double down on chemistry. You've got a really, really special group together. Bring them all back and try to be the chemistry team. I think they're going to be, you know, second, third in the West. And I think they're going to give people trouble. Nobody's going to want anything to do with them. I love it for this year. Everybody kind of gave up on the year. The Jazz said, we were really good. Let's stay good. And third in the West is great.
Haven't we already seen him peak out, though? I mean, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but I mean—
No way. They got another gear.
I can counter that. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was a rookie last year. He can get much more efficient as a player.
But who's going to help him? I mean, I'm
Rudy Gobert?
Rudy Gobert's going to get better.
I think Derek Favors is only 26, 27 years old.
Yeah, they were so young.
Rubio's 28.
Yeah, they're young, and they're going to come back. They've figured out a bunch of things. They really didn't get going until December last year.
And they get Dante Exum for a full season.
They get a full Dante Exum.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
I think this is for Micah, by the way.
Yeah, there's a wood paneling behind you.
So. I typically roll my eyes when they talk about internal development, and we got better because this guy, we actually added someone that was injured. I kind of roll my eyes sometimes because, yeah, that's kind of spin. But in this case, they really do, because Dante Exum wasn't with this team last year. You add him to the backcourt. You saw him defend James Harden in the playoffs. That was elite. He basically shut down the MVP. Held him to 28% shooting.
But that's not where the Jazz are having problems right now. It's not the defensive end. It's scoring. That's what aren't they looking for a little bit more of that? I'm not saying you go out and you just sign a guy who can only score. That's not what I'm saying.
That's what I heard.
How dare you? No, but I just wonder, are they going to find that other guy that's going to be able to help him out with scoring right now? I don't know about that. I kind of hope for internal development, but you know, I look at the guys who are on their team, and I'm just wondering who's going to be that other guy besides Ricky, I guess you could say.
What about your boy Grayson Allen?
My boy Grayson Allen. Listen. I'm happy with Grayson Allen. I'm happy he's on the team. I hope he does well. I'm not expecting anything out of him coming this next season.
But you know what? I do think we're going to see. You know, there was that special Argentina team through the '90s that what do they call them? The Golden Generation.
They won a gold medal in '96,
yeah.
Right?
They did it all on chemistry. I mean, they were good players. They had Manu and they had some good players, but they had a chemistry that was so special, and they did really special things. I think we're seeing a little bit of that. The Spain team with the Gasol brothers and Ricky Rubio, they had that special thing. I think there is room in the NBA for one team to win on unselfishness and moving the ball. You can solve a lot of problems. There just aren't very many teams doing it. There's a lane for somebody to come in and say, we're going to play really good team basketball, and then we're going to shut it down on the defensive end, and we're going to make you beat us. And I think we're going to see something special out of the Jazz.
You know, Cleon, to answer your question, yeah. You know what? That's why they're not going to beat the Warriors. That's why they didn't beat the Rockets. They just didn't have enough offense. That's fair. And they probably still don't. But who does?
Right.
Who has enough offense and defense? You know, you typically look at the best teams in the league, the teams that get to the Western Conference Finals or Eastern Conference Finals. You have to be elite in one of the two things. And last year the Jazz were, and they still are. So you've got the defensive situation figured out. You're top five, or you might even be the best defensive team in the league next year. Yeah, the offense has got to be figured out. But I'll answer your question with a question. Who is the one guy out there that would have been available that they could add that would give them that offensive punch that they need to get better offensively?
Are you going to answer your question yourself? Was this rhetorical or do
no,
I?
No, because I don't know the answer.
No, I don't know the answer.
I don't think that guy's out there right now.
Unless they trade for it. I don't think anyone – I agree with you that no one in free agency was going to come to the Jazz unless there's just something there. Best friends, they saw something special in the Jazz. I just saw no one in the offseason that's going to say, yeah, I want to go play with the Jazz. Not LeBron, not Paul George, not any of those guys were going to actually end up playing with the Jazz unless there was some sort of a connection there. I think they look at the team and they say, yeah, that's nice, but we know the Warriors are still the best team, or we think the Rockets are possibly even the second best team. So I agree with you. I think it's easy to do this now because you look at the Warriors and you say, okay, we're not going to beat him. The fans love this team. And so we'll just kind of stand pat right now. We'll see how things go next season. I just wonder how often can you do that next season too? Because I think this is the last season the Jazz can do this. I think they need to make some moves next season, whatever the moves may be. I don't know, but they need to make some moves next season if they want to start progressing.
We got to let them at least play one season. You know, you can't already be thinking about 2020. You know, you got to let them play one season. I hate how the league punted on this season, though. I don't like the way everybody said, you know what, we're basically going to hand the Warriors one more title, and then we're going to re-up the season after that and try to come after him. That, to me, was kind of lame. I wish the league...
Did they punt, or was it because no one had any money?
I mean, I think there were a lot
of... Plus the fact that the free agent class beyond the first four or five guys wasn't great.
Right, there were reasons. You know, I get it, but I don't know. It felt a little bit like, we get it. You guys are going to win again. We're going to just do the best we can and get through, and then next year we're all going to go after it. I don't know. There wasn't much they could have done, but I hope that people don't roll over this year. I hope that every time the Warriors come through, everybody's trying to chop them down, you know?
No, I agree with you. I just wonder how long can this last. I mean, I know you say, hey, we got to let them, you know, play this season out. We got to see how good they are. And I agree with you. You want to see how good they are. But how long does this last? I mean, do you just keep doing this, hoping that...
I will take this team forever. I love them so much. I love watching everything about them. I can sit there and stare at that bench at the Summer League. I don't know. The wins and losses are fun. It's great that they're a good team. And I think we're going to see really special things. We saw more highlights out of Donovan Mitchell this season than a lot of other Jazz players have put together in their career. You could put a highlight reel together from one season that has stuff that we would have been talking about for 20 years if it had happened 20 years ago. I just would love to watch these guys for 3, 4 years, 7, 12. I want them to stay forever. This is a very, very special team. And I love everything about it.
Jeremiah, what about you?
Yeah, no, I agree with you on Donovan. You know, we're all lifelong Jazz fans, and here we've watched this team for decades now. That's showing how old we all are. I don't remember anything like Donovan.
No.
This quick, that fast, this dynamic. He's going to be not just an all-star, he's going to be a superstar. And even, I mean, this may be a little sacrilegious, but, I mean, I see a ceiling even higher than Carmelo and John Stockton as far as stardom goes.
Yeah, no
because
doubt.
He's got the whole package. He's for off, on the court, off the court. Everything. He's going to be a superstar that we've never seen here.
Well, and I think all of us are shocked watching the way the league is trotting him out. The league is already using him like the upcoming face of the league.
And, he's filming a commercial in Las Vegas today.
And then even Grayson Allen got in a little skirmish at Summer League. That was leading all the shows. And it made me realize this team is special. It has everyone's attention. It has a lot of personality. This team is going to be on TV a lot. They're going to be talked about a lot. They're going to be darlings. This kind of attention hasn't been seen. Even when the Jazz were rolling in the 90s, they were still overlooked. They weren't.
Well, because they were boring.
They were boring.
Outside of, our, you know, we loved them, but
we got
outside
it.
Of Utah.
But it was kind of an acquired taste. You had to kind of know what was going on.
Or a hardcore basketball fan that appreciated their grittiness and their toughness.
Right.
Outside of that, they had no flash. They had no flair. And there was absolute by design. They didn't want to have that.
And
that wasn't their style.
Right. And you only rarely met someone who was out of market who was a Jazz fan.
Yeah, true.
And now you're seeing, like, Jazz fans popping up all around the world. It's great for Utah. It's great for the state. It's great for the team. Everything is coming together for the club. They got the new arena, new practice facility. You know, the management's there. The coaching staff is there. The players are there. They've got to feel lucky. And then they're going to probably get the All-Star game here coming up. Everything is coming together for this Jazz team.
So I'll bounce off that, Cleon, to kind of answer your question about how much longer can they just do this continuity thing. You mentioned Donovan Mitchell. You mentioned all this excitement. You mentioned the fact that they have Grayson Allen now, who's also a recognizable name that's going to add to that as well, by the way. He already has. There's an excitement with this team. I can't wait to see the schedule come out. Because I bet the Jazz have more national appearances next year than they've had in the last 10 years.
No doubt. No doubt.
That's what I expect. I mean, it's going to be probably once a month at least on one of the national Jazz. I mean, that would be a big, huge improvement.
Well, Spencer mentioned it just a moment ago, how, you know, where would you push the Jazz right now? We're going to take a quick break. After this break, we'll talk about that. Where would you put the Jazz in the Western Conference right now? And also, who should that 15th guy be that the Jazz sign? We'll be back right after this on the Jazz Notes podcast. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast. We have 14 guys signed so far. I'm not going to run through all of them, but there's a 15th spot open now with Jonas Derebko being, I guess you could say, waived by the Utah Jazz. Who's that 15th guy? I mean, we've now heard that George Niang, he's a possibility. He could get signed by this team. They've seen some good things from him this summer league. What kind of a player? Is he the type of player you want, or what type of player are you looking for with that 15th contract? And can you still find a guy who can make a big difference right now?
It's a developmental guy. It's somebody like George who's working their way up, and they've earned that spot. But somebody that they see has some skill that's he's NBA quality. And I think he's proven that in summer league. He knocks down the three. We talk about the shooting and the need for that. If you have some injuries, you need to call on a guy. George has looked like a guy that they could rely on and bring on. Look, you have to be honest about that position at number 14 on your roster, number 15 on your roster. That's not a rotation guy. So we're not talking about a rotation guy. The rotation is set. And so if you're adding somebody to that roster spot, unless some crazy opportunity comes up, this is not a guy that's going to see a lot of time anyway. So it's going to be a younger guy, a guy that you're trying to develop, somebody that maybe already be in your system. And that's why George makes sense, is because he's already been with them. He's been the two-way contract player. He's playing with the Stars. I think they like what they've seen from him. He's proven a lot in summer league recently, and I think they'd be comfortable giving that to him. But I don't think they're going to rush into it because I think they want some flexibility.
That's exactly who I was going to say, but I don't know how to pronounce his name, and so I didn't say it. How do you pronounce it?
I would just say George, but I'm just going to leave
the George Niang, right?
You don't pronounce the S on the
I
end.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's silent.
Okay.
Jorge? Yeah. Georg? Do you want me to just go a different language? I'm actually no, out of how do you say George in different languages?
He was
sorry
great
about
in,
that.
He was great in summer league, and you know he was clearly heads and shoulders above the other guys. It's got to be him. I was saying during the break to Jeremiah, I'm available for any team in the league that needs a 15th guy. Anybody who's trying to get to a salary minimum, let me take your money. If you're trying to lose games, even better. I'm your guy. You can put me out on the floor. I'm not going to defend well. I can't move well. I'm in my 40s now. And you're just not going to be able to – you're not going to win games with me on the floor.
Hey, you know what? Kendrick Perkins is in the league, so I think you – you know, same. Why not you?
Yeah. We both got six fouls to give.
Yeah.
You know, so all I'm
saying
is –
wave a towel on the bench.
For all the GMs who are listening to this for insights, just let me – just get at me. I won't even have an agent fee. I'll just negotiate directly. Let's work it out.
Is this like an Eddie situation? Do you think that would bring more fans if we had someone like you playing for
Jazz? Yeah, everybody gets hurt, and then eventually I have to play. But something changes, and we have to win. And so by the end of the season, I hit the winning shot. Something happens like that.
Wow.
Sounds like a good script for a movie.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Please, no. I would definitely say I agree with Jeremiah on one thing. They need someone who can shoot. They definitely need someone who's going to be able to make shots. I don't know if George is the guy, but he seems like a capable guy. I mean, if you're looking at it, they have, what, six guards, four wings? I'm going loose here, okay? Six guards, four wings, four bigs. Niang kind of fits in that big category who, if you need him to come in, he could probably come in, knock some shots down. He's not a dummy either. He knows how to pass. He knows how to rebound. Maybe he's not the most athletic guy in the world, but you know, if you read recently in the Deseret News, he's gotten in a lot better shape this season too. So kind of a why not?
Speaking of athleticism, I believe you owe a certain Grayson Allen an apology because on a previous episode of this podcast, you called him not athletic.
Oh, okay. Ooh. I apologize.
He went ahead and did some dunks during warm-ups the other
day. Warm-ups.
That were incredible.
Warm-ups.
I don't care. That was incredible.
Yeah. Never Donovan was impressed. I don't know why you aren't.
No, okay. I guess I'm looking for something in game. That's fine. He's very athletic.
They said that during the combine, he was one of the more athletic.
He's got a 40-inch vert.
Okay, yeah. Great.
So at some point, I feel like a written apology would be appropriate.
To him?
Yes.
Do you want me to write an apology to him?
Yes.
What if I just went and talked to him? Could I apologize to him in person?
Yes.
I'm sorry I said you were not athletic. I apologize about that. I know you can jump out of the gym. You can jump over me and dunk a ball. I'm fine with that.
It is funny, though, how quickly – because I was not a fan. He was really one of the more punchable players in college basketball.
And it didn't help that he played for Duke.
But, you know, even the lieutenant governor, Spencer Cox, was tweeting on draft night, please don't take Grayson Allen over and over and over. Then they took him. There was some funny back and forth with Steve Starks. And then after summer league, the lieutenant governor tweeted again, like, I love Grayson Allen. So he's flipped completely. He's back on board.
Hey, I'll say this about Grayson Allen. The one thing I like about him is he has fight in him. He's got that thing that Jay and Joe have already, and that's he's got fight and he's not going to back down from anyone. That's a good thing. I like that about him. I was just kind of hoping for something else, but if you're going to deal, you know, if it's going to be Grayson Allen, why not be Grayson Allen? Let's see how he does. I'm just not sure he's going to break the starting lineup, and I'm not talking about this year.
He may not crack the rotation this year. We don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be this year. I'm not sure what he's going to be. I think the best he's going to be, and I've said this on the podcast before, is a good sixth, seventh, or eighth man, and that's fine. Where you're drafting there at number 21, that's fine if you're a good sixth, seventh, or eighth man. So I like his fight. And yes, he is athletic. I apologize, Grayson Allen. I doubt you're listening to this podcast right now. It's all my fault. You're a great guy. You're super. I'm dumb. And I'll stop right there.
I just think people are going to hate playing this Jazz team this year. Yeah. There are going to be several games.
Was it Derek Favors? Someone, you know, here in the market somewhere, he mentioned that they may be the most hated team in the league next year, and he's fine with it. So, yeah, this team, they They're gonna be irritants.
They're gonna be under skin for sure.
Yeah, they got enough guys now, which is you love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Because look at the Jazz teams of the last few years, the Hayward teams
walking away.
There was something. It was just
none of them wanted to engage with anything. They would look away. They wouldn't make eye contact. They're like that dog that won't look at you. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember Hayward getting a wet willy from Delonte West, and like he should have punched him in the face. You know, would have been worth a 5-game suspension. You can't let somebody punk you like that. See, this Jazz team won't be punked. It won't happen.
No.
They'll stand up to any team. They're not going to be intimidated. They're going to be the enforcer. They're going to be the intense team. They're not going to let other teams. And Grayson Allen had a comment after the summer league game on Saturday. That's what he said: "Is I'm not backing down to anyone. I'm going to set the tone right now as I come into this league that I'm not going to let you get the best of me. I'm going to stand my ground."
And that's good because they're going to try it. They know what he was like in college, so they're going to come after him, and they're going to try and needle him however they are going to do it, but they're going to do whatever they can to see if they can get under his skin. Not that he's going to make a huge difference in a big Jazz game, but maybe it's just to even get a couple of technical free throws or whatever the case may be. They're just going to want to get him off the court because they don't want to deal with him. Okay, so they've got spunk, grit. They've got, what do you say? They've got an edge to him. No one's going to want to play him. Is that going to take him to being the 2 seed in the Western Conference? Or 3 seed? I think it's pretty easy to say right now, you can comfortably say, I think they can be the 4 seed. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But are they good enough to be the 2 or the 3 seed? Are the Rockets still that other team, even though they aren't as strong as they were? But, you know, we've still got some time left in free agency, too.
So, obviously, you start out this conversation always starts with, if they can stay healthy. So, given they stay healthy, where are they at? Well, they finished last year with 30-6. I mean, they were an incredible pace. Only the Rockets had a better record after January than the Jazz did. It was just an incredible run. So if they come back and they're able to, that chemistry carries over and that feeling and the being comfortable, just like they were at the end of the last season, carries over and they can start great, then maybe they could go on that kind of a run. Maybe they can be solid all year and play to that level. If you look around the West, who got significantly better? Who?
The Lakers.
That's about it.
Okay.
I would say that's probably...
That's a non-playoff team in the West. So how much better did the Lakers get by adding LeBron? The rest of the guys they added are... I have no idea what Magic was doing, but of course, LeBron James is incredible. He's the best player in the world.
I still can't figure that out.
I saw once they got LeBron, I'm like, okay, they have a plan. Who else are they going to go out and get? And then I saw Lance Stephenson sign. I thought it was fake Woj. You know what I mean? I thought it was a fake tweet, and it turned out it was.
Show.
And then JaVale McGee. I'm like, what? Why? Why are you bringing those guys in?
Yeah,
it just seems strange. But you put LeBron with Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram. We'll see what Lonzo Ball does. Rajon Rondo's an interesting ad. Can't shoot, but I don't know. He brings an edge. I don't think they're a top 4 team in the West, though, which is crazy. I mean, that team last year in the Cavs, they had Kevin Love with them, and they were only the 4th best team in the East, and they had to squeak by Indiana in the first round. I mean, that team was really not that great with LeBron. So I don't think the Lakers in that mix. I think you look at the top 4 still as the Warriors, Rockets, Jazz, and Thunder, and the Rockets got worse.
Oh, you're going to put the Thunder at 4?
Absolutely.
See, I would put the Thunder at 5 and put the Lakers at 4.
Really?
I think LeBron is good enough to carry him to 4.
Hmm.
And then OKC at 5.
I think the Thunder, without Carmelo Anthony, they're going to release him. He's probably going to end up being with the Rockets.
That's worth 5 wins.
That's absolutely worth 5 wins. I mean, that's a lot of inefficient basketball you're cutting loose.
That's actually true.
And the Rockets are going to add him. And so I'm not sure that makes the Rockets better. The Rockets were really, really good defensively last year. They lost their 2 best wing defenders in Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbamute, who's now signed with the Clippers. That's a big, significant loss that I don't think people are going to talk enough about.
Isn't that weird that Ariza went to the Suns? It's very strange.
1 year, $15 million.
Wow, that's
Trevor Ariza is going to make $15 million next year.
I will take that.
No brainer for him. I guess, what were the Suns thinking? Why would they do that? I have no idea, but Trevor Ariza, go live in Phoenix for a year and make $15 million a year? Sign me up. Absolutely.
Suns, if you're available, we will take
that. That may be the team you're looking for. Yeah, yeah. Apparently they're burning money down there in Phoenix.
I guess going back to what we talked about, team development, wouldn't you think OKC kind of fits into that. Now they're going to have Paul George and Russell Westbrook together for now two seasons.
If we're
going
to say the Jazz are going to get better, I think you look at internal development with the Thunder. They have another year to play with each other. I think that's why I think they're top four. And I think the Jazz proved last year that they were a better team than the Thunder. And with the Thunder not changing and the Jazz not really changing, I think all things even, the Jazz are still a better team than the Thunder. So I would say the Jazz are the third best team in the West. I think the Jazz could pass the Rockets if the Rockets have defensive problems next year. The thing that took the Rockets to the next level last year was their defense got significantly better. Now they're going to bring back Clint Capela, so that's a huge factor in that. But losing that wing defenders, both of those guys, that's a huge hit for the Rockets. And we'll see if – I mean, they hid a lot of mistakes that Harden made. And he's not going to have anybody back there that's going to hide his mistakes.
Yeah, I think it's Jazz in the three spot, Lakers in four, OKC in five, and then mad scramble for the couple spots.
Yeah. Who's going to get left out? I mean, you automatically think Spurs, especially if they trade away Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, the Spurs won't make the playoffs next year, which is insane.
Yeah.
They lost Kyle Anderson. I mean,
did we ever find out what that Kawhi – I mean, what's the Kawhi story? Like, what's going on there?
It's weird. It's really weird. You're starting to hear little bits and pieces are starting to come out.
That maybe had a rivalry with Tony Parker or something
like Tony Parker called him out. Compared his injury compared Kawhi's injury to his because they were similar, but they weren't. But that was really the last straw for him. But there's been some other things.
Something's going on.
Kawhi's a weird dude.
Did you cover him when he was in college?
Yeah, with San Diego State, San Diego State BYU rivalry. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've never interviewed him. It was like they came to town. Yeah. But he's a quiet guy anyway.
When you go into that locker room, it's always a very interesting vibe.
Yeah.
There's a few guys in the league that come through, and you're always like, oh, that's a – Birdman was always that way too. I felt like they're just – little in their own world.
Where do you want to see him end up? Where do you want to see Kawhi end up?
Lakers.
Philadelphia.
You want to see him end up with the Lakers?
Yeah.
Why?
I like a good... The Lakers need to be a super villain. Like, I need a super team in L.A. I need a super team in Boston. I need one in New York. And right now we got Golden State, too. I want... If we're going to live in a super team league, let's have four... Let's have the superpowers all be aligned the way they ought to be. And then I love playing the spoiler. I love coming in and saying the old Jerry Sloan thing. Let's play the game, Let's see if we can do it, And I think the Jazz will surprise.
I thought everyone hated the Lakers, whether they were good or not.
I don't want to see anything positive ever happen to the Lakers. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care if they're like 20-62. That's great with me.
All right.
I wish they would have lost six more games.
That's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. We are way over time. Thanks for downloading us, listening to us. We'll have to wait and see when we're going to be back again. Seems like everything's wrapped up for the offseason, but you never know. Maybe we'll come back and we'll have someone to interview. So thanks for downloading us. We'll talk to you soon.